Check, check.
Check, check. Morning, everybody. Thanks for coming out this morning on this beautiful morning. Before we get started, Scott just sent Judy an update on what's going on. I'll just read it off of her phone. Once again, decreasing her sedation. She has been on CPAP since 7:15 this morning. I mean, she's breathing on her own, I guess, and is doing well, still at 40%. They will try 30 later. The goal for the day is increased mental status and lower sedation. They said if all goes well, she will be responding at some point, like squeezing or wiggling upon request. She also dropped 2 pounds of fluid. I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. She and I are having church this morning. Just the two of us, no, the three of us. Jesus said, Matthew 18, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be also. That's awesome, isn't it? I'll keep you posted.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for everyone who's come out this morning, Lord, to hear your word. That's especially good news we've heard from Scott, Lord, and we ask that you continue to bless them, that you encourage to help her become complete again and to be healed, and that they get on with their life again, Lord, and that you would comfort them and bless them. Scott, Susie, and Matt, and Erica also, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.
We could all stand.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, Christ shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas blind, but now
How many of you love that song, huh? Oh, let's pray. Father, just bless the offering today, Lord. Bless those who give. We have a wonderful body of givers here, Lord. We lack nothing, and that's by your grace, Lord. And we just ask you to bless the offering. Use it to sustain the ministry, Lord, and to get the message of Christ out into the world. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Do you tremble at his word? Tell me, does it move you? You desire it more than your necessary food. Is it more precious than the finest gold and silver? Words of truth to live by from the mind of God. All his words are true, and all his ways are right and just. We have the very mind of Christ. Will you let it be in you? Will you let it be in you? As a man does think, so is he, you see. Tell me, who is he? You seek to be a living epistle, a letter read by all, manifesting Christ, the way, the truth, the life. All his words are true, and all his ways are right and just. We have the very mind of Christ. Will you let it be in you? Will you let it be in you? Do you tremble at his word? Tell me, does it move you? Do you desire it more than your necessary food?
Let's pray. Father, just bless your word today, Father, as it goes forth in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, we're still in Romans. We started Romans last week. Quick review. Paul gives his usual greeting and commends them on their faith, how great their faith is being heard of all over the world, and how he prays and he unceasingly prays for them, always remembering him in his prayers and that he would hope to come soon. And that was about the gist of it. Didn't get recorded, but that's about all we did through the first 15 verses, if you want to read that on your own. But we'll take up here in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Merely believe, faith alone in Christ alone. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. That is from Habakkuk 2:4 in the Old Testament. Only four times in my NAS Bible is the word faith used in the Old Testament. It's unknown in the Old Testament. It's definitely just a New Testament thing. It wasn't supposed to be. They were supposed to have faith, but they chose to do it by the law and got them in all kind of trouble, as we know. Paul is not eschunomai. We went over that last week. Middle voice. He's not convinced or assured. He's convinced and assured that this is the true gospel, God's own gospel. And they received it by revelation of Jesus Christ while in the third heaven, after being stoned to death in Lystra. The gospel he preached, he shared with the so-called super apostles in Jerusalem. He wanted to just make sure that he wasn't running in vain. So he ran it past them in Galatians 2:2. For I am the least of the apostles in 1 Corinthians 15:9, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church, number one enemy. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. We can all say that. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. A gospel of faith alone in Christ alone. That's what we preach. Without any law works, Romans 3:21. Apart from the law, a righteousness. This got him in trouble with a lot of his brethren, his Jewish brethren. But he kept on a straight and narrow on the mission that he had been sent on by Christ as apostolos, the sent one, the admiral of the fleet. He would not bend or bow to the pressure, but kept on preaching, faith alone in Christ alone. You can read on your own in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12 all his pressure and all his tribulations and all his troubles while teaching and preaching his gospel. But he had not only the gospel and the concern for the churches to worry about, but his own spiritual life. He also had to work on that so that after he'd preached others, he would not be disqualified for the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached others, myself, I will not be disqualified. His desire and only desire was to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of his own, but a righteousness which is from God by faith. God's very own righteousness we have. That he would know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Philippians 3:8-12, but never quite known for sure. Not that I have already attained or have already become perfect, but I press on. That word is dioko, the same zeal that he had in persecuting and rounding up the Christians and taking them back to throw them in prison, now was the same exact zeal that he had for that he may know Christ. Same word. That he may lay hold for which he was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing, forgetting what's behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Don't dwell on tomorrow, even if they were victories. Don't dwell on yesterday too much. But press on toward the goal of the prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One thing, let's press on together for that same purpose. Follow him, take up your cross, and follow me, saith the Lord, as Greg so beautifully preached on Tuesday night. That's the most important thing we can do. We know that Paul finished the course, of course. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me only, but also all those who love his appearing. That's me and you. Paul was convinced that the preaching of the cross contained in its very self the very message, contained power, dunamis, where we get dynamite, of God for salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified. To Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. 118, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. My advice, 1 John 2:28, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming, that we would not be ashamed. 1 John 4:17, by this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the pleroma, fullness of God. The power of salvation is available to Jew and Gentile alike. For with God there is no distinction, in Romans 3:22 and Colossians 3:11. To all and any who believe, this free gift is available. It is the power. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, but salvation, faith, and grace are all gifts from God, that no man may boast. Verse 17, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, my righteous one will live by faith. It's the free gift of righteousness. It's called in Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of the one, that's Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. We are the very righteousness of God, as I said before. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin, sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but by his doing, we are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord, from Jeremiah 9:24. And this righteousness is revealed from our initial faith in Christ to our faith perception of every word of God, every message we hear, we believe it, and more righteousness is added to our account, and our faith is increased. So faith comes from hearing by the word of Christ. This is where Israel's great failure, they failed, in Hebrews 4:2. For indeed we've had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard didn't profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. This righteousness is only revealed, apocalypsis, by faith. Like I said, 250 times in the word is faith is used in the Bible, and only 4 times in the Old Testament. Romans 9:30, what shall we say? The Gentiles who do not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, never arrived at the law, derived it from the law. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, that is, the cross. That causes the religious to stumble. The cross is foolishness to the wise. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, Matthew 21:43, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, given to a people producing the fruit of it. He who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, but whoever it falls on will scatter like dust. And we all know that Israel was scattered till 1948, and they were brought back to their homeland. Habakkuk 2:4, behold, as the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith. The OT prophet is quoted here and repeated by Paul and by the Hebrew writer also in Hebrews 10:38. The one whose soul shrinks back in shame and fear, my soul will have no eutychia, pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. And keep pressing on. Follow Christ, abide in him, and we will never be ashamed. Romans 10:11, for the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed, but my just one shall live by faith, is the message of the Old and the New Testament. For the Jew, Romans 10:3, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all those who believe. Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that same righteousness. Never slip up once. Leviticus 18:5, Nehemiah 9:29, Ezekiel 20:11. Excuse me. And if they would fail to keep one commandment, he's broken the whole law. Galatians 3:10, for as many are the works of the law are under a curse. It was being under a curse, trying to live by the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform him. Deuteronomy 27:26. That no one is justified by the law before God is evident. The righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeem us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Great news, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ is indeed the end of the law for righteousness to all believe. Romans 10:4, good buddy. It stands written for time and eternity. Gragraptai, remember that? Perfect passive indicative, and his word endures forever. Isaiah 40:8. Peter quotes it in 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word which was preached to you. Matthew 5:18, for truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. They're eternal. No beginning, no end. His word never grows cold or loses its effectiveness. Always as fresh as the day he first spoke it, when he spoke the world into existence. 11:3 of Hebrews. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of things which are visible. Made up words. He spoke everything into existence. Verse 18, for the wrath of God, it's going to get a little heavy now, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath is orge, anger, punishment, and indignation, and it's revealed also by apocalypses, by revelation, and now being revealed from heaven itself against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth by their unrighteous deeds. They suppress, the word is kata echo, they hold it down, they hold back the truth by their every action. Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead, my God, this isn't us anymore, in which you were formerly walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, with all deception, that's what it is, the whole world is being deceived, deception of wickedness, for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth as to be saved by it. These children of wrath show their true colors by their rejection of God's truth, glorifying every human lust and desire as they please. No knowledge of God at all in the world. They've taken every divine institution, completely turned it upside down and inside out, every which way but loose, changing the meaning of marriage, family, relationship between a man and a woman, human government, law and order. Just watch the news. You'll see all the despicable things. We won't even go into much detail. Ephesians 5:3-7. But immorality and impurity, greed, must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And filthiness and silly talk, of course, jesting, which are not fitting, but rather of the giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. It used to be the kakos evil. It's just a mild, I guess, if you want to call it, evil, just bad and sick, wrongdoing. You know, it was all behind closed doors, and you didn't really see much of it or think much of it. But now the evil is poneros. It's infectious, evangelistic even, in nature. Not only do they have come out of the closet, but they're taking prisoners. If you don't go along with them, they will ruin you, harm you physically, or ruin your life in other ways through slander, gossip, and other things. They will cancel you. This is what they call the new cancel culture. I don't know what woke means or what it's all about, but I know it's not a good thing, and we shouldn't spend too much time worrying about it. But God is not punishing these people for their sins now, because he punished his son on the cross. If they knew that, would it help, maybe? I don't know. I doubt it. Not counting their sons against them, God was in Christ, not judging men for their sins, but imputing them to Christ on the cross. Therefore, our message is to be ye reconciled, because he who knew no sin was made sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So how is his wrath is revealed? By allowing men to reap what they sow. It's the first lesson in the Bible. When God was making the garden or creating the garden, all the plants and shrubs and animals, they would all be recreated after themselves. And that's more or less the principle of the law of reaping and sowing. And if you plant an apple seed, an apple tree comes up. Corn seed, corn comes up. And one negative decision on Adam's part would mean misery and death passed down to all men. Romans 5:12. Galatians 6:7-8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Hosea 8:7. For they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads. It yields no grain. Should it yield, strangers would swallow it up. He said in 4:6 of Hosea, my people perish because of their lack of wisdom. Acts 17:31, because he has fixed a day in which will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Romans 2:14, for when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written on their hearts. Their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts are alternately accusing or else defending them. On the day when according to my gospel, call Paul's that God will judge the secrets of men through Christ. Hebrews 4:12, you know, the word is active and alive, and as we listen and learn, we are being judged by that word. And our thoughts and intents will be made known there, and we'll have a chance to unload them here on earth before we get to heaven. Romans 1:19, because that which is known of God is evident within them, for God made it evident. God made man in their image. In Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. Just who? He created them. He created the soul life, which helps us to acknowledge of our own existence. And our conscience helps to discern what is from right from wrong. He said it best on Mars Hill. Acts 17:28, Paul says, "For in him we live, move, and exist." Some of your poets have even said, "For we also are his children." Romans 2:15, their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts alternately accusing or defending them. It's the monstrous monitor, they used to call it, the conscience. It'll justify you when you shouldn't be and make excuses for you when you shouldn't. Just to acknowledge that they are alive is proof of God's existence. But men hold back. They suppress the truth. Paul says it best to the wise men on Mars Hill, that men are culpable to God and without excuse. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything from us. Since he himself gives to all people life, breath, and all things, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries and habitation. God shed his grace on thee. He set us apart and formed us into a nation. And he made from every man, like I said, one every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries, that they would seek God if perhaps they might grope. They might grope for him and find him, though he's not far away from each of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your poets have said. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver, an image formed by the art and the hand and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he's appointed, having furnished proof to him by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer. There they go. But others said, "We'll hear more of this later, perhaps." Excuse me. 1:20 of Romans. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. His invisible attributes, as well as his divine power and divine nature, scream out the glory of God." Psalm 19:1. "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, their expanses declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech." Can't hear it, but it's talking to you all right. "And night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor their words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through the earth and their utterances to the end of the earth. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, in which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run its course." its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end. There is nothing hidden from its heat. Just the vastness alone of the heavens and the universe is enough to prove, if you're honest to yourself, that there is a God. Then there's the nature, the trees, the vegetation, the animal world. So nothing could come out from a big blast and crawl out of the ocean and become all of this. It's impossible. A loving God and a loving Creator had to do it. It's the only way it could happen. Job didn't even have the word of God. But now, in 12:7, now ask the beast, to them let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens let them tell you. Speak to the earth and let it teach you. Let the fish of the sea declare to you this. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Isaiah 41:20, that they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight as well, that the hand of the Lord has done this, and that the Holy One of Israel has created it. You would have to be blind not to see, like I said, all this was made by a loving Creator. Clearly seen and understood through what has been made. They are without excuse. Thus says God the Lord, Isaiah 42:5, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people and on it, and the spirit to those who walk on it. Verse 121 of Romans, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Ephesians 4:17, so I say, firm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles in the futility, metiotete, nonsense, empty, frustrating thinking, being darkened. That'll darken your understanding quicker than anything, denying the truth. Excluded from the life of God because of ignorance. It's no excuse. That is in them because of the hardness of their hearts. Their hearts having become callous, gets a hardness on them, and they can't feel. You can't feel emotions, any true emotions. You can't feel shame. Man has forgot how to blush. He doesn't even get embarrassed by anything anymore. Everything goes. Like I said, it's futility. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. They neither give God thanks nor do they honor him as God, but become futile in their thinking. They were given over. That's the key. They were given over to this futility. God will give you whatever you want because of the rejection of truth. It was their choice. There's no one else to blame. They can't react in anger, going, Ricky Lake, that's all I could think of. I don't even think she's alive anymore. And blame everybody and everything for all their problems. They play the blame game. The victim mentality, they're calling it these days. It's all merely a form of psychosis. People can only think of themselves and what influences them and what happens to them. Their asunitas, non-understanding, foolish, senseless thinking, has caused a great darkness in their souls. And their hearts have become calloused. It's lost their feelings and are completely hardened to the truth. God has given them over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity. That's the lead story on the news every night. Film at 11. That's the name of the message, Film at 11. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they become fools. That's short and sweet. 1 Corinthians 1:19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for a sign, and the Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, scandalon, and the Gentiles foolishness. That's a quotation of Isaiah 29:14. Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. Psalm 53:1 is ditto. Fool says in his heart, true wisdom only comes from scriptural understanding. Proverbs 3:13, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches forever. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Acquire wisdom. 4:5 of Proverbs. Acquire understanding. Do not forget to turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will guard you. Love her. She will watch over you. Man's wisdom does not come down from above, from heaven. But in James 3:15, it's earthly, natural, and demonic. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, the one who catches the wise in their craftiness, that's the Lord, alleging to be wise, but they're just fools. Verse 23, they have exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. They have exchanged God's glory for that of corruptible man and birds, four-footed animals. The Egyptians, they had the asp, the cobra, that they worshiped, the serpent, of course, replicating their god, Satan. Scarab was a type of a beetle. They had some kind of a god made out of a scarab. And then let's not forget the calf idol. Aaron made one of those while Mount Moses was still on the mountain receiving the law. They didn't even hardly get through the Red Sea before they were imitating the Egyptians. Then there was Jeroboam, who made two of them, two golden calves, one in Dan and one in Bethel, which really is stupid because Bethel means the house of God. It was named when Jacob had his wrestling match with God and overcame and became Israel in Genesis 32:28 and following. Deuteronomy 4:16, so that you do not act corruptly and make a graven image for yourself in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Thus they exchanged their glory, Psalm 106:20, for the image of an ox that eats grass. Jeremiah 2:11, has a nation changed gods when they were not gods, but my people have changed their glory for one that which is done, does not profit. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. Therefore God, paradidomi again, he gave them over to the lusts of their own hearts, and uncleanness to dishonor their own bodies among themselves. Ephesians 4:19, and they have become callous, given themselves over to sexuality for practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. There is no longer shame in the world. Like I said, it seems they can't get enough anymore. It's all over, television, movies, sitcoms, commercials. Everything has a sexual connotation to it anymore. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. 1 Corinthians 15:32. If there's no resurrection, Paul says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And God will never dishonor your free volition. He'll always give you what you want, what you ask. Verse 25, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who's to be blessed forevermore. Jeremiah 10:14, every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful. And there is no breath in them. They have traded, exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Isaiah 44:20. He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside and cannot deliver him. Is there not a lie in my right hand? Jeremiah 13:25. This is your lot, the portion measured to you from me, declares the Lord, because you've forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. These men have been deceived by the prince of the power of the air, who was a liar from the beginning and his father of lies in John 8:44. And he doesn't stand in the truth. He can't, because there's no truth. There's no truth in him. By God, through their denial of truth, to worship and venerate the creature rather than the creator, who's to be blessed forevermore. Amen. The lie is the complete antithesis of the truth. It's so deceptive, it can even fool a believer who's not rooted and grounded in the truth of the Word of God. Go ahead and jump off the temple. Angels will catch you. He was lying and misquoting Scripture. Sounds true. Sounds like it could be doable, but it's a lie. Romans 3:7. But if through my lie the truth of God abounded in his glory, why am I being judged as a sinner? Sounds reasonable to the carnal mind, but it's not true. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, for the reason God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false. Being deceived, that'll get you into trouble every time. These people aren't getting away with anything. Their day will come. Don't worry. You follow me, Jesus said. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Beware and be watchful. The devil's seeking someone to devour. And he's really tricky. His schemes are always mixed with a little truth. 1:26, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passion, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Here it is again. God has paradidomy. He's handed them over to degrading passions beyond their wildest dreams. Women exchanged the natural affection, chrason, the sexual function, the actual sexual function, that for that which is unnatural against nature. But the war against marriage of a man and a woman, same-sex marriage, is not natural, but it's part, that is part of the lie. Verse 27, in the same way also, men abandon the natural function of the woman and burn in their desire for one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their sin. And in the same way, homoios, in that same way as women did, men, they abandoned, they divorced themselves from what is right. The word is ophiemi, same word for forgiveness or divorce. But they, the sexual relation of the woman, and burned and set aflame, burned longing for one another. Decent, shameful deeds, working down into themselves, causing great problems. We won't go into much detail there. You can think whatever you want there, whether this is AIDS or some other crazy thing. It could be any anything. You never know. But men are actually really, they're reaping. They're reaping these days. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female, Leviticus 18:22. Leviticus 20:13, it refers a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman. Both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is on them. 1 Corinthians 6:9, or don't you know the righteous unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate or in homosexuals. There's people that are marching around in parades these days, showing their pride in what they are. God calls it an abomination, and it's worthy of death. Verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do things which are not proper. Once again, God gives them over. He gives them what they've asked for, just as they did. They did not consider to regard the knowledge, and that's even epinosis, of God any longer. He handed them over. Worthless, unqualified, adokimos, unfit, thinking, the noose, not suitable, or what not ought to be done. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of every murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips being filled, pleroma, with all unrighteousness. The list goes on. But don't be quick to judge. 2 Corinthians 12:20. For I am afraid that when I come, I might find you not to be what I wish, but found by you to not be what you wish, but perhaps strife, jealousy, anger, tempers, disputes, slanderers, gossips, arrogance, and disturbances. I am afraid that when I come, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over the many, many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of their impurity. Immorality, sensuality, which they have practiced. Corinth was tolerating fornication, and the church was never even mentioned in the world, in the streets of Corinth. Paul was writing here to a church full of believers. 1 Corinthians 6:9, or don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate or homosexuals, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Just another list of sins that are prevalent in these last days. Just another sign that we are in the last days. 2 Timothy 3:1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. This is just in the halls of Congress and the White House. Avoid such men as these. Be careful. The days are evil. Some of these sins are horrendous, and we would never even think of it. But the people we mingle with every day and have to be around, they're full of this stuff. We have to take care and beware. Be careful who's hanging out around you. You can't help it sometimes. Be careful. Verse 30, slanderers, the list is continuing. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving. The love of many will grow cold, Jesus said, unmerciful in those last days. Verse 32, although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. Which takes us to Paul in Acts 1:8-1. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting Stephen to death. And that day a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Paul would have never lowered himself to throw a stone, but he gave his hearty approval by standing there and taking care of the cloaks of the men who were stoning Stephen to death, showing his approval in that way. Luke 11:47, woe to you, for you build tombs of the prophets. It was your fathers who killed them. So you are a witness and approve the deeds of your fathers, because it was they who killed them. And you build their tomb. By building their tombs, they were given their approval for what their fathers have done. Knowing the ordinance and knowing that practicing these things was worthy of death, we must be careful to stay far away from all these people who do such things and don't even judge. Because the one who judges, the ones who are doing these things, their judgment could come back on them, and they could be judged. For in this Matthew 7:1, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in yours? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is still in yours? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother-in-law. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, and do not throw the pearls before swine. They will trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. So don't freak out when you're watching the news anymore. Just realize things are proceeding according to plan, and thank God and keep pressing on to know him. You know, you don't really have to stand up here and beat the pulpit and preach against abortion and same-sex marriage and whatever else there is. You know, there's men saying, you know, if you're going to a church that isn't decrying these things from the pulpit, find another church, find somebody, a pastor who will. But that's not what we teach in church. We teach Christ and him crucified. That's the only wisdom, true wisdom that we know. So like I said, don't freak out anymore. I used to, but not anymore. A well-taught congregation knows that all these things are wrong. We don't need to preach on the condition, but just on the cure. And Christ is the answer. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for your word today, Lord. Bless it to our souls, our hearts, to our stream of conscience, Lord. And Lord, that you would continue to bless us this day. Stay with Scott and Susie and the kids in the hospital, Lord, and keep encouraging and keep improving the circumstance. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
If we could all stand.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks.
All right, everybody. Have a good week.